especially for the core group of us that started this fellowship or that were here from the beginning, that wasn't the earmark of our lives. We were in debt, struggling, you know, constantly. So it's really neat, though. It's a testimony to have this, bought to have this, and that it doesn't look like our lives. It doesn't look like the same thing. It's prosperous. I have a leadership team. We work through all this stuff, and the Lord's adding and increasing, and we're able to, and this is what the church is supposed to be and what the kingdom's supposed to look like, and we're doing that out of you just giving from your hearts, no coercions, no talking about it. So I seldom say, I don't know why I did today, but I did, and just bless all of you, because we're able to give above and beyond and do some really unique things. So I've had a virus this week, and yesterday I was really under it. I was just concerned about how I'd be this morning, afraid I'd go into a coughing fit. So at the last minute, I asked Kevin if he would share today. And it's good, because I'm already worn out. But so he's like, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot today. I said, well, geez, Ali, Kevin, I give up every Sunday morning, like with just that little bit. And open my mouth, the Lord fills it. But Kevin's got quite a testimony. I'm like, oh, Kevin, please, you know, don't be. So I'm just excited. I have a lot of confidence. You just have a word for us that's very significant this morning. So amen. Kevin's been, amen. I just love this guy. He has, he's come to us. Jenna reeled him in. Did you really say that, Pastor? That's why I love to have girls here, because they bring the guys back now. Anyways, he's just a blessing to come into our body, and just the transformation in your life, Kevin's been such a testimony, and working through things as we all have to, and he's just really been a blessing to our body, to other bodies and other people in ministry, and he's growing by leaps and bounds and coming into this awesome thing. So, amen.
Yeah, thank you so much. Praise God. I was thinking, was it last night or this morning? I think it was early this morning. I had a thought, man, it's just great to be part of a family. And then like the Lord corrected me almost. He said, no, it's a healthy family. And the thought that I was having with that was, you know that it's a healthy family when you don't feel like you have to show up and perform. Okay, like you there's places, let me tell you, that you go and they look at you like they're ready to see a performance out of you. And a healthy family. And so, like, when the Lord said that to me, it was maybe, like, 10 o'clock when I seen Rick's text. And, I mean, I didn't have a message prepared. But I knew that I'm part of a healthy family, and I could just come and share and be. And there's not this pressure, this looking at you, like, you know, to come and do some performance. So, about a month ago, let me start with this. During worship, I heard the Lord say, or I heard in my heart that the King is coming. And on our way to church this morning, Jenna and I were talking, and the way that the Lord has been speaking to me lately about what he's wanting to do, it's come with like a real breaking in my heart, because he's also revealed to me where we're at, kind of like collectively as just the body as a whole. And I said to her this morning, I think it's later than we think. And the King is coming. The King is coming. You know, Isaiah says, arise and shine, and, you know, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And then it goes on to talk about, like, the deep darkness of the peoples. Like, that's the time that we're living in. Like, it's dark. It's dark out, but the day is breaking forth. And I think that it's later than we think, and the King is coming. And about a month ago, I was getting ready to go somewhere, and I was actually thinking about what I wanted to eat. And we had mozzarella sticks in the refrigerator, in the freezer, and I thought to myself, that was what I was going to make. And I said, but there's no Maranatha. And what I meant to say was that there's no marinara. And I don't know if you've ever said something and the Lord has thrown it back into you, but when I said that there's no Maranatha, the Lord threw that back into me. And I knew that the Spirit and the bride are crying out, come, Lord Jesus, come. And what the Lord began to show me is that there's this a generational gap. So during the Jesus People movement, you guys even talk about it a lot, that you know you get saved and it's like you just kind of let go of everything expecting the Lord to return like at any moment. But what has happened because of that in my generation, especially the generation below me, there is no Maranatha cry because it was almost handled in such an inappropriate way that we let go of actual responsibility in bringing forth the kingdom of God. We let go of it completely. And because of that, we now suffer. There's no Maranatha. But the Lord is restoring that in the hearts of the people. And the closer we get to the King coming, I guarantee you in all of our hearts in this place, there's a stirring and there's an urgency beginning to arise that it's not we need to let go of daily responsibility, but it's that in my daily responsibility, I'm making sure that I'm manifesting the kingdom of God. And this is the cry that's coming into the hearts of God's people. And so because of that, there's many things that I've heard the Lord say recently that I'm just trying to walk through and sort out in my heart before, I know that before I'm released to share them. But Jamie Overhaul, a good friend of mine, he's coming soon. You guys know him. Friday night, he was talking about the cutting away of how the Lord is really wanting to cut a covenant with us. And as he was talking about this, I was playing the guitar and I heard the Lord singing over us that unless you let me cut you, there's no way for you to love me. Unless we allow him to cut us, there really is no way for us to love him. And a lot of the times we look at the cutting as like a punishment thing, but really the cutting is a kiss. So it could be said this way, that unless we let him kiss us, there's no way for us to love him. He's the one who engages us. And it's our heart's position to respond accordingly to the kisses of the King. It's a drawing into. And that's what the Lord is doing. There's a new wineskin that is being put together. And last night during service, I had a mental picture of the crown of thorns. And what I seen was that as it pierces the brow of Jesus, the blood that runs from the head of Jesus isn't for the purifying of his mind, but the purifying of ours. That the crown of thorns pierces the brow of Jesus, that my mind might be washed in the blood of Jesus, and that the mind of Christ would then be in me. And so this new wineskin, it begins with us being able to have the mind of Christ in our thought life, our minds being renewed, that we would know what the hope and the calling of God would be in our lives. And so this new wineskin that the Lord is just putting together, it comes with a phrase over it. And I really, man, as I just think about him saying that over and over, that there's no way, you know, unless you let me cut you, there's no way for you to love me. And there's the circumcision of our hearts and our minds that the Lord is really wanting to bring about, that the veil would be torn in our hearts and our minds, that we would be able to step into this place of intimacy and hearing and seeing and being held and leaning into and laying upon Christ himself. And so for all of us today, man, I pray that we would go from this place with our minds being, listen, there's the blood of Jesus, it speaks a better word, right? We know that it says in Hebrews, it speaks a better word about the thoughts that you have about yourself. The blood speaks a better word about the disappointments that you've gone through. The blood speaks a better word of our hopelessness, our depressions, our anxiety. The blood speaks a better word. The blood of Abel sought vengeance, but the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. And it really is the purifying of our mind and our thoughts that the Lord is wanting to bring about this new wineskin, because what he's going to do, what he's wanting to do in the earth isn't going to look like what it used to look like. And so our thought process of what he did needs to be opened up to allow him to do what he wants to do now. I want to read out of 2 Corinthians, if you guys could turn with me. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, we're going to start at verse 17. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. This is the cutting away that I mean. This is the letting the Lord cut us in places that we might love him. This is the place of receiving the kiss of the Lord that we might love him more. And in verse 17, it says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I mean, it is clear. This is the word of the Lord, and this is what he's saying. Do not touch what is unclean. 2 Corinthians 6:17. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then chapter 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And I think I even mentioned to Rick earlier this week about what I just feel like the Lord is really wanting to do. And in this move of God, it is going to come with weeping, and it's going to come out, it's going to come with cries of repentance, but it's going to come in a stillness and a waiting on the Lord, that the fear of the Lord begins to descend in assemblies and grip our hearts completely with the fear of the Lord. And it says that our holiness, therefore, is then perfected in that fear of God. And so we need to first allow our minds to be washed with the blood of Jesus. We need to allow the crown of thorns to pierce the deep places of our thought life, right? Because what we think about, obviously, we see. And so I'm just praying for us today that what we think and what we think that we know about God, or what we think we know about ourselves, would begin to become challenged in a way that would just draw us so close to him that we would no longer look. Listen, there's things in our lives today that he's wanting to cut away, guaranteed. There's a circumcision of things that he's wanting to cut out of our hearts and out of our lives. And if we look at it as like a punishment from a father who's looking to punish us, we'll never receive that. But really, the cutting away is truly a kiss. And unless we let him kiss us, there's no way for us to love him. In that exchange, there's going to be the sweetness of new wine. In that place, there's going to be the sweetness of an exchange of fresh oil. We won't be the five foolish virgins who are looking for oil when the king comes. If we will let him cut away what needs to be cut away first in our thought life, taking our hands off it, it says clearly, do not touch what is unclean. There's small compromises that I've even noticed in my own life that I choose to do this. Not that it's even sin. Not that it's something that separates me from God, but it takes time away from me being with him. And it's not a legal, legalism or religious thing. It's just my heart of wanting to be with him. And he's saying, man, that's great, but unless you let me cut that part away, there's no way for deeper intimacy to come. In Luke 24, we see two guys walking down the road of Emmaus, and Jesus appears to them. And in the story, I'm sure you guys know it, Jesus appears. And one of the things I love about this passage of scripture says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This would be starting in 24:16 of Luke. Jesus himself wants to draw near to us. But listen, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. You guys, down in verse 27, and it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near," verse 28, "then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated," listen to this, you guys, "then he indicated that he would have gone further." When Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and it says that Jesus wept, he was looking out over Jerusalem weeping because he knew that they were missing the hour of their visitation. I don't want to be that person that misses the hour of the presence of God, the visitation of the Lord. I want to live a life of visitation, let alone missing the visitation. But he's indicating to us today that, listen, if we aren't going to be a people personally in our own lives, not saying that we aren't collectively, but this is a one-on-one thing, that if I'm not going to be a person who is chosen to be separated and sanctified, living holy, letting go of unclean things, he's looking at me saying, man, you are missing the hour of your visitation. It says that he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." That's where we're at. That's where we're at, that we need to truly grab hold. We need to apprehend that which has apprehended us. And we need to refuse to let go of it, just like Jacob did. And he said, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me, but maybe my blessing looks like I'm coming out with a limp. Maybe I come out with a blessing, but I look like I've been cut. But really, I've grabbed hold of something. I've grabbed hold of the Lord. I've grabbed hold of the heart of the Father, and I refuse to let go. Even though I might come out with a limp, I know I'm going to come out kissed." Abide with us. That word is so powerful. It's not like, "Hey, man, would you come and hang out?" Like, abide with us. Will you be in us and us in you? "For it is toward evening and the day is far spent." And in this constraining of the Lord, he went in and stayed with them. Man, we love visitation, but how about for the Lord to come and to stay? I want to be a resting place for a resting God. I want my mind, my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions to be in line with the heart of the Father. I don't want the Lord to just come and visit me. I want him to come and stay. So maybe today, there's things that you know that you've been holding on to in your mind. Maybe there's things that you know that you've grabbed hold of that isn't. Listen, I will say this, that there's many things out there that look like Jesus. I've just personally experienced one of them for myself firsthand, and I don't really know how to describe it. The Lord is still dealing with me on this situation, but it looks like Jesus. It sounds like Jesus, but man, it really is far from Jesus. And in the end, it says that they will heap up teachers for themselves who will do nothing but tickle their ears. I don't want that kind of relationship with the Lord. I want to be held accountable to truth that even challenges me and makes me feel uncomfortable. I want the cutting away, you guys, because I know that there's no way for me to love him unless I let him cut me. And so today, maybe you guys even know like some of the thought processes that you've been having or some of the things that we hold on to as truth because it makes us feel comfortable. And perhaps the Lord is just wanting to cut away at your heart today a little bit. Maybe he's wanting to really just come and kiss you in a deeper way that would lead you to a deeper place of intimacy and birth in you a lovesickness that cries out for the bridegroom to come. I want us to leave here today constraining the Lord, asking him like, "Lord, I love you so much. Please don't leave me. not that he would leave you, but the cry of stay. Like, Lord, come to me, come to this house and stay. Let this be a place where when people drive by, when people come in, they walk through the front doors, and it's like God abides here. The living God is here. It's not the God who was. It's, you know, he's not the great I was. He's still the great I am. So that was what's on my heart for this morning. And I do want to open it up and to pray with anybody who may be going through a cutting season and never looked at it as really being a kiss. And it's a hard place. It's a painful place. It's a hurt place. But the result of that is far better than anything that he's trying to cut away. Those things will pale in comparison to what he's wanting to form in us. And so if that phrase even just speaks to you today, that there, unless you let me cut you, there's no way for you to love me. I want to pray for that specifically, that there's things that we know, maybe small compromises in our life that aren't even necessarily sin, but we know that it really has kept us from pressing in fully. Or maybe we know that our flesh is satisfied in that in some way, and we find some kind of outlet for our flesh in that the Lord is really wanting to bring about a new wineskin, because he's going to pour out new wine. And so maybe we could just pray and minister to that a little bit. Do you have something, Rick?
I'm going to turn on some music. Are you the Hall of Lacey? You can find some music. We have a sound person. Is there a sound person in the house? Psalm 16, your pleasant path leads me to pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privilege that the privileges that come with following you. The way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you more. For your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next. And this is constantly my heart cry too. Remove every shadow of darkness that's in my heart that separates me from the Father. And that is my biggest concern in my life, is that everything relational between me and my Father that causes separation, that caused me to stand off, caused me to question, that caused me to doubt, because I believe that what he has for me is this continual fellowship. He has this for every one of us. And our circumstances do not need to be the hindrance to that. And it is this willingness, like Kevin was sharing, that we're afraid of what he'll ask of us. We should be afraid of what he won't ask of us. We should be hesitant to not ask. You know, we should be very willing that we always know what would be hindering us. I'll question everything that I do and everything that I get into and everything my mind starts to get into. Is this going to keep me close to the Lord? Because if it's a problem, I want to get away from it. Because when I'm close with my Father and I'm walking in this clean way, I feel totally alive. This is the answer to our health. This is the answer to our relationships. This is the answer to how you are at home. It's about maintaining this closeness and taking any step to keep pressing in. And I just love waking up in the morning. I've shared this with you all, that instead of contemplating myself, I need to contemplate who he is. Because contemplating myself will just get me further and further away. Contemplating him and his goodness and what he is, and that the only way I can get better in life is to get closer to him. I don't get better staying away. that thought that I'll wait till I get better, I get cleaned up, then I'll get close to the Lord, then I'll come. Don't do that. That's a trap. Because being left to yourself, you don't get better. Being left to your own stuff, you don't get better. Being left to your self-improvement, you won't get better. You might get something, but you won't get better. You won't get closer to the Lord. So, amen. I just invite you, just come. Any step that you can make at any point in your life, just keep pressing into these things. These are the elements. Every journey that I've had in the Spirit and every breakthrough I've had in the Spirit starts out at a point like this, where I make a choice to just go forward. It doesn't have to fit here, that I just make a choice. I just keep submitting myself. And I make that in my meditation. Pretty soon, I've had some amazing, amazing breakthroughs. They come from a starting point like this, where I go, Lord, I want more of you. I want to press into you. You're my hope. You're my substance. Jesus never fails. Everything else will. So I invite you, come.